Yes. Well, I guess you would say that this show is for the birds. Yes. This week, nothing but our fine feathered friends. Beers from Mendocino, Real Ale, North Coast, Buzzards Bay, and Bayhawk. Enjoy.
Let's crack it.
I hope nobody's spitting this beer.
I'm Craftus Erectus almost every week.
There's some beer Darwinism going on.
Beer Coaster Podcast. It's for your learning.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast, and every once in a while, in between.
Yay!
I'm your host this week. I'm Mike from Boston, and guess who's with me this week, folks?
You'll never guess.
You'll never ever guess.
It's Crazy Dave from Temecula, California.
And Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And Chris in Dallas, Texas.
All right.
We're bringing Beer Coaster Chris back.
This is going to be an awesome show.
I am back.
So this episode is for the birds.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
This is all bird-related beers. For our fermentation conversation, we're going to try Mendocino's Eye of the Hawk. And then we get a handful of tasting flights. Oh, that's true. Chris is not going to do Eye of the Hawk.
No, I refuse.
Three of us will do Eye of the Hawk. Oh. Two of us will do North Coast Le Merle. And I will be doing the Buzzards Bay Black Lager. Crazy Dave, what are you doing?
I'm doing the Bayhawk Chocolate Porter.
All right.
And Chris, you do have a tasting flight this week, right?
Yes. So in addition to the North Coast Le Merle that I'm going to be doing with Toby, I'm also going to be doing the Real Ale Phoenix Double ESB. Double ESB.
That's a lot of beers.
ESB.
Yeah.
Or
Desb.
Cool.
Desb. We're all very thirsty,
I say,
Mike.
Yeah, let's just crack this beer and get to it, shall we? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Right after this.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
This is our fermentation conversation. We are trying Mendocino's Eye of the Hawk. And as soon as I get this open, I'll be able to tell you about it. So, this is from Mendocino Brewing out of Ukiah, California. And their website is www.mendobrew.com.
Mendobrew, man.
The style
Mendobrew, bro.
Is an American strong ale. Is it? I thought it was like just a pale ale.
No, it's American strong.
All right. It's American strong. That's what they say. This beer has an ABV of 8%, and the IBUs were not available.
That sounds pretty strong.
Big mystery. Let's crack it, and I'll talk about the ingredients here. For the ingredients, for malts, they use caramel, pale, and malted barley. And for hops, they use cluster, cascade, and saaz. And I'm going to correct myself. So it wasn't caramel, pale, and malted barley. It's caramel and pale malted barley.
Yeah.
So two types of malt.
Orange. Got
orangey color, yeah.
Yeti finger.
Yeah, I got
like a
one and a half Yeti fingers.
Your guys is cloudy and a little murky looking?
No, not really. I mean, it's not transparent.
I might have a little bit of a chill haze on the glass, but yeah. Through the bottom I can see through pretty good. A
lot of bubbles.
I got
the head's really fine, really foamy, fine head.
Yeah,
that is some fine head you got there.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a funky smell to it too. like a, it smells like, I don't know how, like, I don't know that metal really smells like anything, but it smells metallic-y. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of. There's a lot of fruit, like, kind of peachy.
Kind of fruity, but peach, there's kind of a lager-esque kind of smell to it, but a little musty.
It's like a peachy copper, I think.
You can kind of pick up a little bit of the hops in there, so there's a slight...
Yeah, for being a strong ale, I expected this to have more of a nose.
Yeah.
Tiny bit of caramel, but it's very, very light.
Mm-hmm.
It must have gotten punched in the face.
I'm actually smelling a little alcohol in there, too, now that the head is gone.
Taking a sip, yeah!
That's got a lot of sweetness to it.
Yeah.
A lot of sweetness.
This one, you can tell they're trying to mask some ABV going on. There's some sweetness, and then at the end, I actually get an alcohol
burn
in my sinuses.
Some grassy earthiness in the end.
There's some kind of sweet fruit, though. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's like a ripe.
That definitely sounds like an American strong.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not nice hoppy at all, though. It's not bitter.
Well, it finishes a little
it does, but it's not definitely nothing up front.
That's why it's called a backbone.
If you're thinking Arrogant Bastard when drinking this, then no, no, this is nothing.
No, not
like,
at all. No. I mean, it's even way more like sweeter and maltier than like a 90 minute.
Yeah.
A lot more. Yeah. It's like it's really like caramely.
I'm getting a little caramely, bit of honey. Now
peachy,
I'm getting almost
honey
alcohol, honey. Almost like a honey cordial kind of drink, you know.
It's kind of like the kind of like the fruits you were talking about, like they're overripe, like it's like way sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the bitterness is kind of, it's at the end, is it gets kind of perfumey and alcoholy as opposed to
strong,
you know, like a hot bitterness. Herby.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It's got a tiny bit of smoothness to it too, you know. It's not as
I wouldn't call it a tiny bit. I call it a lot of smoothness.
The mouthfeel is really nice. It's nice and
slick,
and full, and
slick.
Yeah,
yeah. It's got a bigger mouthfeel than I was expecting.
How about a food pairing,
I'd go for some pad thai.
Yeah, it could definitely do something spicy for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say Cajun.
Ooh, like a big plate of crawfish,
po'boy,
or something like that. You know, the ones that got all loaded with all the seasoning on it.
I was thinking something like a po' boy shrimp sandwich with some Louisiana hat sauce.
Dude, I just had that for dinner.
Yeah.
Gina just made.
One of them shrimp po' boy sandwiches, man, with the hot sauce on it. Yeah, you know, you get that, you fry it all up, you throw it on a bun, and you know, you put it in your mouth and you eat it.
Yeah.
You drink it with one of them high that hot.
Just in case you were wondering how to eat it, you put it in your mouth and eat it.
So get your learn on here tonight, folks.
Okay. Once again, Rate Beer can kiss my ass, and Beer Advocate users rate this 82, and the Ahlstrom Brothers rate this a 90.
Hmm.
This is Mendocino's Eye of the Hawk, and it's MendoBrew.com.
Yeah.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Yeah, this is Crazy Dave's Tasting Flight. Step off, mofos. I'm drinking some beer. Oh, speaking of which, today I'm going to be drinking the Bayhawk Ales Chocolate Porter. They come out of Orange County since 1994, and they have 1,000 local and out-of-state stockholders.
Wow.
Yeah. Now,
what?
that's a new one.
I don't know. It's on their website. I figured they were proud of it, so I'd mention it, and you know, maybe people might want to buy their stock. But based on their labels on this bottle, I think maybe not, because it looks like they printed it on like on the little inkjet printer, and it's like I don't know. But and the label's all wrinkled and everything. It's like, come on, guys, let's get some quality control. I don't mean to depress your price of your stock right now, but anyhow,
yeah.
This is the chocolate
sure,
porter.
I'm sure it is.
Well, you know, I just left my company that I used to work for, and the price of stock fell down to like $1.70 a share from like $3. So, you know, something happened there.
I'm sure it was all you.
Yeah, part of it was.
Yep.
Anyhow, they're apparently Orange County's oldest brewery. This is a porter. The ABV on this is 6.7 with an IBUs of 23. And like the theme, it's got a picture of a bird on it.
Okay.
So anyway. Doesn't look anything like what's on the website.
Yeah. And the and the bottle caps don't have anything on it. They look like regular plain bottle caps that homebrewers use. So I don't know how big this operation is, but I couldn't imagine it would be all that big. So anyhow, here it goes.
Yeah, I wonder how much more it would cost to get something printed on the bottle caps, because I've had lots of beers recently that are just plain copper caps, you know, which sucks for my bottle cap collection, but I just wonder how much more it would cost.
Anyhow, this pours out like a Coke. If I had it sitting on the desk at work, they'd probably think it was just a soda.
Score.
For all you drinkers at work. Now you know, Bayhawk chocolate porter.
Looks like a Coke. Doesn't smell like a Coke. It's
chocolate Coke?
Yeah, it's got like some chocolateness to it. A little coffee. Taking a sip, yeah, you know, that's got a lot of chocolate. Maybe not so much like high quality Ghirardelli chocolate, but you know, but not quite like the Hershey's syrup, you know, that you pour in your milk. There's not too much roastiness. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's there. It just takes a minute for it to come through. There is some definite chocolatey, roasty, coffee kind of thing. I do have to say that the chocolate kind of tastes not so real. It's almost like a, I don't know.
Chocolate flavor added?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like a Hershey syrup?
Kind of, yeah. It's not very... It's not a very big mouthfeel. It's kind of thin, which is little... I mean, I know it's not a stout, and it shouldn't be like a big, thick, you know, kind of feel or beer. But it's a little thinner than I would have...
Should have a richer mouthfeel, being a porter, you know?
Yeah, porter's still going to have... A bit thinner.
You were about to do your food pairing.
Mm.
Yeah, what would you pair with this?
You know what would probably go good with this is a Milano cookie. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The Partridge yep. Farms little Milano yep. cookie. Little...
I'll drink. I'll eat a bag of those.
Yeah.
In one sitting.
Those things are dangerous.
Milano cookies.
The double Patrick Milano Farm. Cookie. Yeah.
Patrick Farm remembers.
Thanks, Dave.
So wait a minute, I'm not done yet.
Oh yes, you are.
Well, anyhow, they are BayhawkAles.com. Beer Advocate comes at 65, and the brothers, of course, don't drink this stuff because they don't. We should not put the brothers on here, I think. But yeah, so that's the Bayhawk Chocolate Porter from Orange County, California.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines of the Beer Coasters Daily.
For this week's hot topic, we're going to let Beer Coaster Chris take this one.
Me?
You.
So I found an article I thought was not really an article. It's just a quick little tidbit of information from the Brewers Association that as of April 30th, 2012... the official U.S. craft brewery tally, number of breweries, craft breweries in the United States, reached 2,000 breweries. And then there's another domestic non-craft breweries at 51.
So what would it be a non-craft brewery? Just like the craft beer?
Yeah, like Budweiser, Coors, the, you know.
Anything that uses corn and rice as filler, I would assume, right?
No, well, I think...
would not be considered
craft beer. I think, like... haven't we had this discussion? Isn't Sam Adams no longer considered a craft brewer?
No, they are. The Brewers Association pushed it from 2 million to 6 million just for Sam Adams. The limit.
Okay.
To keep them within the craft beer range.
So I wonder what the fifth...
Why couldn't you be craft beer just because... the volume shouldn't make a difference as long as you're using the quality ingredients.
That's one of the arguments.
So if Budweiser were to change then to using hops, malt, and water, then they would cease to be a craft beer producer?
I think they would be a craft beer producer then, right?
In theory? Well, I mean, not because they're not brewing with rice, because there's still craft breweries that brew with rice.
So I guess that's the question then. Is it just
size? Because what happens with Sam Adams? What happens when Sam Adams starts doing 10 million? Are they going to move that up to 10 million then?
I hope not.
You know, because I think that kind of, I don't know, puts into suspect the...
I'm trying to think.
You know, and we all kind of know craft beer. It's like someone who's doing this as an art. They're doing this as you know, something, you know, to make a good quality product.
Right, but when
product.
We're talking about how it's defined by the Brewers Association, those are two different things. So, yeah, I mean, we know what we would define as a craft brewer, but that's not necessarily how the Brewers Association... obviously not. I mean, if they have...
I know what ain't craft beer.
51 non-craft brewers. I mean, there's... But yeah, I just...
have, you guys always talk
we
about...
We have, like, Narragansett lager around here that's...
You guys always talk about the big three. I'm like, I'm wondering, what are the other 48? Yeah.
Well, it's probably the other Anheuser-Busch, Coors, whatever breweries that they have spread out throughout the country.
Yeah, that could be.
Oh, you mean like the Magnum and the Steel Reserve breweries?
Yeah,
and stuff
I mean,
like that?
There's not... Anheuser-Busch doesn't have just the one brewery in St. Louis. They've got a bunch of other, you know, smaller breweries around the country.
Well, I know they got one out here, like out in like Irwindale, I think, or Miller does.
Yeah, Miller's got that one there. Maybe that's what they mean. I don't know.
Who knows? But whatever.
I just find it interesting that craft brew continues to grow in a market that otherwise isn't.
Okay, well,
Keep on putting out your singing ads.
Here's the three...
in your punched up cans.
Yeah.
The three criteria that make you...
And your wait, the twisty pour bottles.
Oh yeah.
Well, what about the plastic?
If the mountains turn blue or something, then your beer's cold.
Hey, well, you know what? I actually like the mountains turning blue because it tells you to drink that beer at the proper temperature. I mean, you're not going to drink a lager warm. You know, I think all beers should have a temperature thingy on them.
Yeah.
I'm a total advocate of that. Yeah.
No.
I wouldn't mind if it had a little thermometer on it. That would be kind of cool. Craft brewery to put a little thermometer and say, hey, this beer is at like 39 degrees or whatever.
Yeah, this is
good. Why have a thermometer when you can incorporate something like your logo, you know? It's like, okay, if the, I don't know, if you know, the mountains are blue, drink the beer.
Make sure that it's ice cold so it freezes your taste buds.
If this is ice cold, it's perfect because you can't taste any of the bad
shit. Well, no, but I mean, you're not going to... But you know what I mean? Like, some beers you want to drink at a warmer temperature, some you want to be at a cooler temperature.
You're
so
right.
Why not have something that it tells you what the appropriate temperature is?
Because it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
That's not... They didn't do it because it's a gimmick.
For your palate.
They didn't do it so you're drinking their Pilsner at the proper Pilsner temperature.
Yeah. You it's know? Like,
they
okay,
did
this,
it's a gimmick
this
to
is
drink
gonna,
it.
It just happens to be that way, though, right?
It just...
No, because it can be a lot colder than it's supposed to be and still be blue.
Yeah,
so you're still not drinking at the correct temperature because it may be, you know,
it doesn't get darker
frozen,
33
frozen
degrees.
Solid.
It may be down to 33 degrees, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to be drinking it at that, although you'd probably prefer to drink it at that.
Yeah, you probably should. So the less taste, the better.
Can I have the Coors Light slushy, please?
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember I had a Corona the other day, and they poured it into a like one of those frosty like ice mugs, And like there, like the foam actually like froze. So I had like this layer of like ice. I was like, really?
All right. Well, here's according to the Brewers Association, here are the three criteria you need to be considered a craft brewer. Small, independent, and traditional. Small meaning annual production of 6 million barrels or less. The beer production is attributed to a brewer according to the rules of alternative proprietorships. Flavored malt beverages are not considered beer for purposes of this definition. Independent,
no malt, which means less beverages?
Less than 25% of the craft brewery is owned or controlled or equivalent economic interest by an alcoholic beverage industry member who is not themselves a craft brewer. And traditional, which is a brewer who has either an all-malt flagship, the beer which represents the greatest volume among that brewer's brands, or has at least 50% of its volume in either all-malt beers or in beers which use adjuncts to enhance rather than lighten flavor. Okay, there you go. And I know we've gone over this before on the show, but
yeah,
that's my time.
Well, let's just get back into drinking some beer instead of talking about what's craft and what's not.
Right.
What do you think?
We know what's good. Craft.
Chris, you want to drink some beer?
I do want to drink some
All right.
beer.
All right.
Hi there. You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd like you to join us on the internet. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Untapped, Google+, and now Pinterest. Just look for the Beer Coasters Podcast in each one of these social networks. You can subscribe to the Beer Coasters Podcast in iTunes and also at callisto.fm.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, this is Toby out west and
Chris in the middle.
All right.
Chris likes to be in the middle.
And we are...
I do.
Every once in a while, in between.
We are both trying the North Coast Brewing's Le Merle, which means the blackbird. That's why I chose this. That's why Chris is drinking this week.
Yep.
North Coast Brewing is out of Fort Bragg, California. They've been brewing since 1988. So, back in the day. This is a Belgian-style farmhouse or saison. 7.9% ABV, 26 IBUs, caged and corked. 750?
You know those two things don't necessarily go hand in hand, right?
What?
Like a 750? No, a saison and farmhouse ale.
Well,
like,
you know,
saisons are always
reading farmers. About it last week.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that from last week's show.
Yeah, it's still confusing to me. Gene and I were talking about it today. Some places will say that they go hand in hand. If it's a saison, then it's a farmhouse. If it's a farmhouse, then it's saison. So it's
no, it works that way. If it's a saison, it's a farmhouse, but not the other way.
If it's kind of like the lager pilsner thing, right?
If it's
so, all saisons are farmhouses. Not all farmhouses are saisons.
Exactly.
Kind of like jacuzzis. Right.
Well, couldn't you technically make a beer a farmhouse style just so long as you open fermented them?
That's probably the big thing that makes it a farmhouse.
It's not just open fermentation.
That's a 750 glug right there.
Yep.
It's using the wild yeasts as well. Because we have a brewery here in Texas, Jester King Brewery, who's considered a farmhouse brewery. But they don't just put out saisons,
right?
But like a beer de garde is also a farmhouse ale.
It's a farmhouse too, right? Yeah, we've done that before.
So it's a method of it's like a style. It's a method of styles.
Yeah. So on the pour,
a method of brewing,
very carbonated.
Yes.
Well, after that glug, glug, glug.
Well, I mean, there's lots of bubbles inside there.
Yeah.
The head, I got about a finger.
Yeah, I got about a Yeti finger.
So
now, it looks like the BJCP style guidelines is it be classified as a Belgian and French ale. It all depends on what. There's the Saison, but there's none for like just a generic farmhouse.
Right.
But it has Saison and Beer de Garde.
Yeah.
And a Belgian specialty ale, whatever that might be.
Very golden in color, like a golden yellow.
Which is pretty indicative of the Saison style. It should be fairly golden. Mine's pretty cloudy. I don't know if that's just chill haze or if it's... I think it's
cloudy.
But that's the other thing. I'm pretty sure that most Saisons are also bottle conditioned. Maybe not in this case.
This one looks like it is. Well, there's some sediment going on in the bottom of this bottle. Okay.
Yeah, then it probably is. Although they usually say it. Nice fluffy white head on the nose. Banana.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
A little bit of the bubble gum.
And a tiny little bit of spice. Not as much as I would expect. More fruity esters than there are spicy notes.
Yeah. It has that really like sticky malt smell, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Now, Dave, you're not a fan of Belgians, right? Are you the one that's not a fan of Belgians?
Yeah, it's me.
That's a... Taking a sip, yeah! Very, very, very bubbly.
Yeah, it's got a really crisp, airy mouthfeel.
Some nice fruity...
Finishes
very dry.
Finishes grassy and dry. Yeah, in the middle there, it's like real sweet and fruity.
This is very nice.
It seems lighter. I mean, I haven't had a whole lot of Saisons, but it seems like on the lighter side as far as...
Well, didn't you have the Saison last week? Wasn't that light, too?
Saison is usually a fairly light...
They usually are light.
Yeah
but I mean, like... I don't know. Like, more... Like, this is sweet. Flavored, but it's not like super sweet. It just seems to be, and maybe it's that carbonation that's really just washing everything over, so it doesn't. It leaves that clean, dry aftertaste, which is, you know, pretty typical.
It's honestly, it's almost too carbonated.
Very nice. It's the Saison to me is a it's like the elegant. Summer beer or something like that, you know? It's very...
It's a champagne beer.
Well, it kind of is the champagne of beers, really, if you think about it, because it's in the French, you know, kind of the French-only kind of style, you know?
It's a very deceptive style, too, because it's so light and crisp, you don't get a lot of the alcohol...
Mm-hmm.
But this is a 7.9, which is actually kind of high for a Saison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've heard of some going up as high as like 9%.
That's big.
Which
usually aren't those when you get the really, like, you know, when they're starting to use the Brettanomyces and Saccharomyces, all that stuff. When they can get kind of crazy, get, you know, more wild.
Well, I've heard of brewers pitching a second yeast because, like Chris and I were saying off mic about how the Saison can ferment at a higher temperature. The Saison yeast is more tolerable to the higher temperatures. And then sometimes brewers partway through fermentation will pitch a different type of yeast and maybe bring those temperatures down.
That Allagash we had was fermented... Four times. They did it with four different types of yeast.
Well, doesn't the temperature go up when it's fermenting?
Well, it just depends on how you store it, how you ferment it.
No, but I mean, isn't the process of fermentation exothermic? But
you mean while the yeasts are going crazy, you think that they're raising the temperature?
Yeah.
I don't know. Possible.
But you guys are the ones that brew. Don't you know what your temperature of your beers are doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, but I always...
Or do you not watch it when you're doing the fermentation process?
Yeah, I always keep track because I don't want it to get too hot, you know?
So, okay, so then it does...
But
it
it's
is
not like they have
then.
A, you know, a neutral...
Right, I don't have
bottle
any
of water
kind of
or something a, sitting there to know what the ambient temperature that type
and I,
of thing.
And I don't have a something that has a thermostat that can keep it at a very constant level. You know, the temperature in my house can go up and down a few degrees during the day. So,
right, no, but I was saying, like, let's say that all things set aside, if you were to have a constant temperature room, when you were to start the fermentation process, the temperature of whatever you're fermenting would increase. Because of the process.
I think it's pretty minor.
I mean, I don't know. Are you thinking like friction? Friction causing heat and stuff like that?
Well, you see that stuff moving. It's yeah. doing something, and I'm sure there's a chemical process too that's I know it's biological what's happening, but energy is definitely being, you know, made and consumed.
Yeah, from a physics standpoint, it's in the chemistry standpoint, it seems like it would increase the temperature somehow just because of the activity and the reaction and whatnot. Yeah.
Well, back to this beer. An interesting note on the name Le Merle does mean blackbird, but it was named after the brewmaster Mark Rudrick's wife, Merle. And he's a brewmaster there at North Coast. So, yeah.
Very nice.
I just want to throw that in there. Chris, what would you pair with this?
This I would pair with... It's light, it's crisp, it's very, very carbonated, so I would go with something spicy. I would go with... like a Kung Pao chicken or some sort of spicy...
Chicken spicy.
Some sort of spicy Asian.
I would go with a sausage and cheese plate. Like maybe some like really sharp cheeses, like a sharp cheddar or something like that. And maybe a spicy sausage.
A spicy sausage.
Something like that.
Well, you guys know what the Culinary Institute of America would pair with this beer?
What?
Ahi tuna ceviche with mango and avocado.
Wow. Very specific.
It's on their website, actually. It's not if you go to northcoastbrewing.com.
Oh, it's on there?
Yeah.
All right, so that is the Le Merle Saison from North Coast Brewing, Fort Bragg, California. Beer Advocate users gave it an 88, which means good, and nothing from the Brothers Ahlstrom. Check out North Coast Brewing's website. And I got to say, they have some really cool glassware.
Really?
You know, you can get like the Le Merle glass. You can get the old Rasputin glass. They got some cool stuff. And it's not too expensive. It's like $6 or $7 for a glass, you know? And I think that every brewery should do that.
Yeah.
Should have a... And I know Stone does it, and there's a few other ones. And I'm not just talking pint glasses. These are like specifically designed glasses for that style of beer that they brew. Like this one is a...
and pilsners and...
Yeah, the one for the Le Merle is a goblet.
Nonix.
All right, cool. NorthCoastBrewing.com is their website. Check them out.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
So, for my tasting flight this week, I am trying the Real Ale Phoenix Double ESB from Real Ale Brewing out of Blanco, Texas. Their website is www.realalebrewing.com. Style of this beer is a double ESB, which I don't know that I've ever had a double ESB before.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's like extra, extra bitter? Like double bitter?
I guess. It's got an ABV of 7.2, so pretty hefty. IBUs.
It's just extra, extra special.
Yeah.
Oh, it's even got two X's in the name.
That's right.
Yeah.
IBUs on this beer is a 50. And didn't get much in the way of ingredients, so I'm going to go ahead and crack it. This is a limited edition seasonal release.
Yeah, they say this is under a winter category.
Yeah. So, on the pour, it's a pretty amber-looking ale, about what you'd expect an ESB to look like. Maybe a little bit lighter than I was expecting, actually. And a copper in color. Got about half a finger of off-white eggshell head.
Eggshell.
Now, is that the texture or is that the color?
That's the color.
Because like when you paint, that's like the finish.
Nobody's painting.
Am I
here,
painting?
Well, I'm just making sure because like I'm sure we got some painters out there that maybe listen to the show.
He said eggshell.
Oh wait, no! I want a gloss.
I was really looking for semi gloss.
Yeah.
So on the nose, I get lots of malt.
Is the malt semi-gloss, or is it...
It's more of a, like a... Sorry. Like a faux antique.
That was some Martha Stewart stuff that just went right over my head.
You've been watching way too much HGTV, huh? That's right.
Some good toffee. Dude,
Jay's not even home when he's watching this. He's watching this on his own.
Of course.
Jay's like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
So some nice toffee notes. Not much roastiness. A little bit of hop. Kind of a piney hop.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Some good toffee like sweetness with a little bit of. Hop in the background.
Sounds good.
It's got some really good bitterness in it. It like this is what I would picture a really good ESB to be. Yeah. It's interesting because when I it's considered a double ESB, but I would think like this would be a like premier like perfect example of just a straight ESB.
But you're getting some good hoppiness with it.
With an E at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good hoppy.
Yeah.
This is really tasty, though. This is a lot better than I expected it to be, actually. Extra special bitter.
Would you extra specially pair it with anything?
I would. A pastrami on rye with sauerkraut and mustard.
Right.
Yep. That would go really good with this. Sweet. So that's the Real Ale Phoenix Double ESB from Real Ale Brewing Company. They can be reached at realalebrewing.com. Beer Advocate users give it an 84 and nothing from the Alster Brothers. And apparently we don't care about rate beer anymore, so even though they gave it a 94 out of 100, I'm just going to disregard it.
Yeah, please disregard.
Thank you. We hear that, listeners. We'd like you to strike that from the record.
Yeah.
Wait. Can I ask a question?
No.
You pretty much already.
All right. Next up, my tasting plate.
It's a serious question. It really is.
I doubt it.
Yeah, okay, me too.
No.
Okay.
Why the hell do you guys seriously even care about what Rate Beer or the Beer Advocate or the Brothers say about these beers?
Mainly, we just give. We have some kind of background, from somebody, to give it some kind of. I don't know. Well, it's a good question.
It'll either discount
but we do
or
use
support
Beer
your credibility
for a lot of things.
No, it's outside reference, yeah. that hey, just to let you know, the other people in the community have felt this way about this beer. And we did do Rate Beer up until the beginning of this season because. Well, and the reason why we don't do Rate Beer anymore is because we're just kind of fed up with.
If it's not hoppy, they don't like it. If it's not big, they don't like it.
Not just that, but the whoever, all the people on Rate Beer, the users on Rate Beer seem to be to me.
It's a certain demographic.
It is, and it's more of like the craft beer geek that's new to craft beer, and they get in there and they start adding beers just to add beers, and they don't put in the right style.
There's
they don't do the research.
There's so much misinformation
It's way off a lot of times. I would trust Beer Advocate
I'll tell you something that's interesting.
Beer any day.
Once you get to a certain point where you've been drinking craft beer long enough, you start to come back to styles that when you're new to craft beer, you instantly disregard. Styles like Hefeweizens, lagers.
Lagers, pilsners.
Stuff that when you're new to craft beer, you get this air of superiority and like a Hefeweizen, oh no, that's disgusting. Once you've been in it for a while, you start to come back to those styles and realize, hey, there's some, you know, good things in these styles. And so you just have to find the right ones. You know, and when you look at somebody like
Stellapithecus to
it's finding the right mix of everything. Like you'll never see, I shouldn't say for certain, but you'll rarely ever see a Hefeweizen get a high rating in rate beer
or an ESB for that matter.
Yeah, well, this one actually got a 94 out of 100, so that's not too bad, but.
But you said it was probably more bitter it was probably more of a hoppy ESB.
Yeah.
Which an English style ESB is very on the maltier side.
Yeah. And this one is not. But I mean, this definitely has more hop character to it.
With rate beer, there's so much. Like, they have the style wrong a lot, they have where the brewery's from incorrect. There's just a lot of incorrect information on there. So just like. Disregard it. I mean, I'd rather take two or three other rating type sites and throw it on there rather than Rate Beer at this point.
So, are you guys looking for like a replacement to Rate Beer?
It's possible. I mean, I would go with somebody else if I could find somebody. Well, Toby, you used to say somebody's ratings. Who was it? Was it?
Well, there was Hoptopia for a while. No. I mentioned Hoptopia a couple times.
Why don't you guys? I got an idea. Why don't you guys? Put what's on Untappd.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. That's a good idea.
Does Untappd have?
Yeah, they have ratings.
They have a 1 to 5 bottle cap rating.
Yeah,
I know that you rate it, but I've never seen.
But you'll see what the
actual.
But like my Bayhawk chocolate porter was rated 3.36 out of 59 ratings.
Okay, well there you go. Let's do Untappd then from now on. Okay. There we go. From now on, even though I've had issues with Untappd too, because Untappd, it seems like a lot of people will add beers. Just to add beers to get a badge, so they will put the wrong name of the beer. They won't capitalize certain things. You know, I know that I might just be a stickler for certain things. They put 0% ABV because maybe they're drinking it at a bar and they don't bother to ask the bartender or do a quick little. Hey, if you're adding it on your smartphone, guess what? You can go to Beer Advocate or you can go to the brewery's website and find the ABV.
People are not going to be at a bar and they're going to be geeking out on their freaking PDA to figure out what the IBU is.
If they're geeking out using Untappd, why wouldn't they geek out?
It's one thing to go to Untappd, find your beer, and then, oh, it's not there. Okay, hit add, drinking it. Okay, I rated a 4. Click. I'm like, I don't want to have to switch from that app and go to the web browser to look to see on this website what the ABV is.
Are we still recording, by the way?
If you're serious about the beer, then you will do that. If you're not that serious about the beer and you really don't care about that beer and that brewery and whatever, the only reason why you're adding it is to get a badge, go ahead and don't take the extra time to find those other little things. That's just probably me being nitpicky about certain things.
Toby's right, though. I mean, the whole point in Untappd is information gathering. It's to share information about the beer. It's not just to get that.
No, it's a social networking site to let people know what you're drinking at this moment.
About beer. Yes. So you want to provide the most information about the beer that you can.
No, it's about providing the information on what you're drinking now.
Right.
Yeah.
Tasting.com. That's what you used to do, Toby.
It's not saying like, okay, this is what I'm drinking. I'm going to be the beer geek and tell you everything about it. Website.
No, but if you're other websites you feel it's necessary that you're going to untap it and you don't see that beer in there and you feel it's necessary for you to be the one to add it to Untappd, then yes, you should take the time to add the pertinent information.
You have a responsibility if you're going to do that kind of thing.
As an Untappd user, this happened to me once, okay? I'm with a group of friends. We're hanging out. We're being social, like, in the real world here. Which means I cannot take, like, 5 minutes while everyone's kind of talking to me.
Then don't add it.
Yeah, but I want to add it because I'm like, hey, I'm at this bar, I'm drinking this beer. You know, I want to put on there, but I don't want to take 10 minutes.
Oh, okay, so you
want to
do half-ass. That's fine.
I just, you know, I'm drinking the beer. I don't feel like, I put it out there that I'm drinking this beer. I don't really give a shit what the IBUs are, what its ABV is. It doesn't matter to me. I'm drinking this beer, I'm enjoying it with my friends, and I'm sharing it with the world on my social networking beer site that I'm drinking it. I'm not doing a fucking analysis of the goddamn beer. That's not what my point was. I was out with my friends drinking, and I decided just to take 5 seconds out of my time just to hit the little button to say I'm drinking.
Did you rate it?
I may have.
Okay. Did you put a little comment in there of how much you enjoyed it?
It's not like you can. But it's not like you can go and get all that stuff like real quick.
I know it takes time, but if it was me and I was logging on and I was like, okay, I've only got a minute here because my friends are going to get pissed because I'm playing with my phone and not being social. So, they don't have the beer on here that I'm looking for. Okay, forget it. I'll do it later. Or I'll do it next time I'm drinking it, you know. But I think that a lot of people that do that stuff
drinking it,
are strictly
really like
going for badges.
My beer.
I don't drink beer on Untappd to get a badge.
I actually think it's very rare that you're going to get on there.
That's silly anyway.
And a beer that you're drinking isn't on there.
Yes.
I think a lot of the stuff that gets added is added by people who are just either too lazy to find it effectively, and so they just add it without searching for it.
I do have one criticism of Untappd. Their search engine is pretty weak. Cuz like a couple I had a time where I went to go find a beer. It didn't find it, and I put like the beer first, then the brewery first, and then finally it found it. But it took like 5 minutes to find the damn beer.
Sometimes you have to be pretty specific.
I think their search engine's kind of weak. But anyhow, that's a whole
like, I put for Gordon Biersch, I put summer brow, and I separated the two words summer and brow, and it couldn't find it. But then I put it as one word,
and it found it.
So I could see how that would be an issue for some people because they go, oh, look, it doesn't have the beer that I'm drinking. And then they go and add it. So whatever. I mean, it, of course, it has its flaws. It's not perfect. But yes, Untappd does have a lot of beers in their database. I think they might even have more than Beer Advocate at this point, which is pretty crazy. But I will sometimes find beers on Untappd.
But the question is how many accurate
on Beer Advocate
beers do they have?
Yes, that's right. And I think Beer Advocate has a pretty good system
filter
for weeding
screening.
Out. Yes, I think they do. I think they have a good filtration system. Yes.
Filtration. Anyway,
sorry, Chris, for putting your tasting flight 10 minutes past what it was.
Yeah, whatever. As long as it's good conversation, I don't care. All right, so Mike, I think, is the one that's more upset about us going this long because I think he really wants to drink.
Yeah, stop talking altogether.
I find that I have no saliva left. I need a drink.
All right, Mike, your turn.
Okay, thank you.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Finally, it's my turn. Finally. I'm going to get to drink another beer.
How you feeling out there, Mike?
All right, Mike, what would you pair with this?
So I'm going to try Buzzard's Bay Black Lager. This is from Buzzard's Bay Brewing, which no longer exists.
It's a new brewery.
What? But from what I've read...
And it's a new brewery, isn't it?
Well...
Just beer...
New and non-existent.
New brewery!
Right, new and non-existent.
They came and they went.
So it's actually Just Beer Brewery that says they still have Buzzard's Bay beers, but on Beer Advocate, it actually says it's a retired beer.
This is probably going to be the greatest beer ever.
I know.
I'm never going to be able to get it again.
Never going to get another one. But I'd like to say you can get information on the beer through justbeer.us, but the site is I don't know. You should check it out. Just I have no words to describe
What's it called? What's the
justbeer.us. And they're out of Westport, Massachusetts. This Buzzard's Bay Brewing was out of Westport, Massachusetts as well. This is a Schwartz beer. It's a black lager.
Schwartz beer!
The ABV is 5.0%.
Oh, yeah. If you're making a website, courier all the way.
Yeah. And I have no... I tried to email, and I didn't get any response. So I have no IBUs, no ingredients. No, nothing. So I'm going to crack it. But it had a bird on the label, so I grabbed it. A whopping 99 cents for out-of-code beer.
Dude, it's so hard to, like, criticize the brewery and the... It's like they've got, like, the first article on their website is a Memorial Day thing about Marines and... So you don't want to badmouth them, but man, your guys' website sucks.
I believe that was my review. Is it? I have no words. So I get about a pinky finger of head. It's very dark, super dark brown, but not quite black. Tan head, big bubbles.
Wait, I don't understand. What was the name of your beer?
Buzzard's Bay Black Lager.
But this is Just Beer.
Right. And because Just Beer says that they have Buzzard's Bay beers. They say that Buzzard's Bay still alive and kicking, but with Just Beer. So I don't know if Just Beer bought them.
Mm.
But as far as I know, most of the Buzzard's Bay beers are discontinued and retired. So there's a bit of secrecy.
Mm.
It's cloaked in secrecy, this Buzzard's Bay. On the nose, roasted chocolate, a little coffee.
This is almost the worst sight I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't even. I could not even say that this was a beer website.
I know.
It's
very confusing. Yeah. I know.
The only thing I'm excited about is that it tells like the live traffic feed. Like, oh, someone from Temecula was there. Someone from Henderson was there. Someone from Plano, Texas was there, and someone from Massachusetts was there. So we know the beer coasters have been there. But other than that, like this, I don't know what the hell this website is.
It's about 15 years old.
Some smokiness in this beer too.
Oh, that's right. Take a sip. Mike's drinking beer.
Oh yeah.
God, geez.
Sorry.
Oh no, I'm not drinking yet. But
taking a sip, yeah.
Smokiness. That's what I heard.
We should hack their website. Put Mike's like picture up there. At least put a bottle of beer on the website so we know that that's what it's about.
There's some smoky maltiness in there. A little roasted roastiness. Some darker chocolate, kind of a powdery chocolate.
Or darker.
This is what happens, Mike, when there's four people on the show and you are the last one to drink.
A little bit of vanilla.
Everybody's already drunk by the time it's your turn to drink.
I'm talking about it. I should just be drinking it.
I'm the sober one.
Try to get through it before last call.
I'm the one drinking responsibly tonight.
That's what's scary.
Dave, even when you're sober, you're drunk.
And you're never responsible.
Yeah.
Dude, Toby's gonna take a little toss, dude. He's laughing at anything now.
It's almost like a little smoke. It's like a smoky hop at the end. There's a tiny bit of hop bitterness at the end of the sip.
A smoky hop.
Yeah, it's weird.
This
I'm going to pair this with
sorry,
something.
Sorry, So this is a black lager?
Yeah.
Schwarzbier.
Is it a Schwarzbier or a...
It says it's a Schwarzbier.
It's called a black lager as far as Buzzard's Bay calling it, but Beer Advocate has it listed as a Schwarzbier.
Okay.
Aren't black lagers Schwarzbiers?
I haven't had a good Schwarzbier in a while.
It tastes more Schwarzbier to me than black lager, because some of the black lagers I've had
have
a little bit of a malty sweetness to it, and this is more just kind of roasted roasted flavors and not much of that, you know, none of that sweetness. It also doesn't have a lager, you know, that metallic-y lager smell or taste to it.
How about a 13-pound brisket?
That's exactly what I was thinking. A brisket with the you know, the banana peppers? You know what I'm talking about? They're not like quite like pepperoncinis. You know the little yellow pepper. Ooh, that sounds... I think that would probably go good with that.
I had a burger just recently at a Portuguese restaurant that had some red pepper strips and a very salty type cheese on it that I... And it was like a char-grilled burger, and I think something like that would go
pretty well
with this beer. You know, just a nice cheeseburger with some, you know, some spicier pepper. Or like a roasted red pepper or something like that, even. It doesn't have to be that spicy. Well, if you want to check this out, you can't. So...
Suck it.
Too bad.
Beer's retired. If you want to try to figure out if you can find out any information on justbeer.us, be my guest.
You're feel not free.
Give us some backwash on what you think of justbeer.us. I tried to reach out to them and I haven't heard back from them. Granted, I know I did it a little later than I should have, but anyway. That's what I get, and it is a retired beer, so it's not like there's going to be a big demand for information on this beer in the future. So
yeah,
there you go. I finally got to drink my second beer.
There you go.
Thank you, folks.
Pound it now. You got to pound it.
Pound that Schwartz.
Chug. Ketchup. Hurry up. Ketchup, Mike.
Yay!
He did it. Way to be responsible.
Way to be responsible.
It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. Yeah.
Brianna Luna says, "My dad managed to spill beer, soy sauce, roux, and peanut butter on the couch in the last 24 hours. WTF.
Tweet of the week, yeah. Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
If you have any questions or comments about the show, feel free to email us, backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com, or you can call our hotline, 339-225-9274. That's 339-BACKWASH without the C.
All right, everybody, last call.
Last call. That's right,
bitches.
Folks.
Bitches.
First up, pint ratings, Crazy Dave.
All right. So the Eye of the Hawk, this was that really, really sweet. This was so sweet, I thought it was more like a dessert beer. It really threw me off heck. Like, you're like, oh, strong ale, I'm expecting some big-ass, in-your-face kind of a beer. It's not what it was at all. I mean, it's very, very malty, very sweet, very smooth. I think it was probably a little bit too sweet, so I'm going to knock off half a point for that. So I'm coming in with this at a 3.5. So, but definitely easy to drink, though. Real easy to drink. not a non-more kind of easy to drink, but just like, you know, like a late night, kind of like after dinner beer, I think is what this is for. Something just to put you to bed. My one word for that, I guess, I don't know. Like, for some reason, when I think of sweet birds, I think of a rockin' robin. So I say
that is one sweet bird.
Now for the Bayhawk ales, this chocolate porter. I talked a little bit about this, saying how it tasted kind of artificial and Hershey syrupy and stuff, and it just didn't really impress me at all. You know, everything about it just was kind of flat and small, and not what I really expected with a porter. So, like the small little bird, the sparrow, that's what I'm going to give for my one word. And my pint rating, it's a two. It's a two. A finch, yeah, maybe that. Or a hummingbird, maybe even more appropriate. But, yeah, my pint rating for this is a two. Fail.
Fail.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
Next up.
Toby.
Yeah, okay. For my Mendocino Eye of the Hawk, this was good. It kind of threw me off. I wasn't really expecting it to be a American Strong. For whatever reason, I just had this feeling that it was just a regular old pale ale, even though I think the Blue Heron is the Mendocino pale ale that they brew. But for whatever reason, I don't know. And it's good. It's got lots of nice, good flavors. It's nice and sweet. It still has a good hoppiness to it. It's very handcrafted, like craft beer. To me, like drinking this, I go, man, this is like a total craft beer to me. It just has good flavors. It's drinkable. Has some good ABV. So I think I'm going to go with a 4. I liked it a little bit better than Crazy Dave. And for my one word,
I thought it was just a hit too sweet. That's all.
Yeah, it is on the sweet side. That's true. For my one word, it reminds me of G.I. Joe, so I'm going to go with Hawkeye. No, I don't even know. Is G.I. No. Hawkeye on G.I. Joe?
That's no. MASH, dude.
It's MASH or it's Avengers.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say Hawkeye, even though I'm totally ripping from the actual name of the beer and say Hawkeye. That's so lame. I'm sorry, guys. It's very all lame.
Right. Hey, they can't all be winners.
Yeah. I don't think they really ever are. Okay, for the North Coast Le Merle. This is good, man. This is a good Saison. It's everything you would expect out of a Saison, except for it wasn't as spicy as you'd expect a Saison to be. It was a little bit more on the sweeter side, but it did have a really nice crisp airiness. It was very refreshing. Lots of good flavors. Typical Belgian yeastiness. So I'm going to go with a 4 on that one as well. And for my one word, I'm going to say, oh, it's something to do with birds and farmhouses. I don't know.
How about an owl?
French bird?
Yeah. How about an owl? There's like barn owls, you there know, you they go. Hang around and then, you know, they
barn owl. Done.
They fly silently and pick up the little mice.
I suck this week with my one words, so barn owl.
All right, Chris, what do you got for rating?
Yeah, so for my ratings this week, for the first one I tried was the Le Merle, like Toby. I really liked this Saison. I've been on a kind of Saison kick. In fact, the last beer that I brewed was a Saison sitting in the fermenter now. I really like this style. This particular version, really nice, some good fruity flavors. I don't know, maybe I got a little bit more spiciness than Toby did, but I definitely picked up on some of those traditional Saison spices. The beer is actually a little more carbonated than I wanted it to be. It was a little more effervescent than I expected. And that actually knocks it down just a peg for me. I'm going to give it the same rating that Toby gave it, though. I'm going to give it 4 pints. It's a very, very good tasty saison. For a one-word rating on this one, because of the effervescence and the speed at which the bubbles rise, I'm going to call it a duck hawk. Yeah, it's one of the fastest birds in the world.
Say it three times fast. Yeah.
Duck cock.
Yeah, the cock.
For the Real Ale Brewing Company, Phoenix Double ESB. This is a really good example of a good ESB. Nice and bitter where it needed to be. Nice and malty where it needed to be. It's a very good balance. The ESB style is a very balanced style, and this was a good example. It's a double ESB, so both of those things tend to be hop or amped up a little bit. There's definitely more hoppiness than you would get from a normal ESB style, a traditional English style. I really like this beer a lot. I'm going to give it 4.5 pints. A one-word rating, I'm going to have to go with Phoenix on this.
Is that allowed, judges?
How about Burning Bird?
No, that's such a cop out.
I don't know if you could, if your one word can actually be the name of the beer.
Yeah.
How about like a condor? It's big and majestic, and
I don't know how majestic it is.
Your condors are just big. Vulture.
Vulture?
They're grumpy and bitter and there we go.
Buzzard.
They're extra specially bitter. Vulture.
Oh, that was gonna be Mike's word.
No, well, mine's a buzzard anyway. That's the name of my beer, so I can't name it.
Yeah, you could.
Vulture. That's mine.
Alright. Cool.
There you go.
Oh. For me, with the Mendocino, I kind of liked it mainly because it surprised me. It was bigger and a little bit I guess I just wasn't expecting it to be a strong ale. I thought it was a pale ale. So the fact that it was a little sweeter, a little bigger in alcohol, was kind of nice. Had a little bit of honey. Actually had a lot of like honey-type flavors in there as well. Some toffee and that type of thing. I think I'm going to rate it a 4 as well, as I think Toby did. Yeah? Mm-hmm. For my one word on this one, I'm going to go with honey talon.
Because
it was sweet and it grabbed me.
It had
me.
Big talons.
For
damn, it's not. You're not trying to make a girlfriend out of this beer or something.
Hey. To each his own.
Cheesy pickup lines over here.
I'll do with my beer.
You had
what
me
I
with
so
your
choose.
Honey talons.
So for my tasting flight, my Buzzard Bay Black Lager. Not much lager in this Black Lager. It had more of honestly, it was kind of porterish, just like a light porter. It didn't have what I mean. Some of the Schwarz beers or Black Lagers that I've had is not quite like this. But I enjoyed this, especially not having any kind of metallic-y lager smells or aftertaste. So that was kind of nice. I'm going to rate this. I'm going to rate it a 4 as well, just because I like it. I know it's not quite the style, but I really enjoyed kind of the smoky roasted flavors. And for my one word, it's a tough one.
Come on now, this is a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer?
Schwarz beer, smoky. What's my beer called?
Yeah, you're right. That, okay. you're right, actually. It should be. I'm going to... All right, we'll call it Roast Phoenix.
There we go.
Roast Phoenix.
Shout-outs this week. Kind of our regular lineup of followers here. We want to give a shout-out to Tony from Beer 411. And also, I want to give a shout out to Crystal, a dedicated listener that is very shy as far as giving us backwash, but she listens to the show all the time and lets us know. So thank you for that.
Cool. Thanks, Crystal. Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Mike from Specs Liquor here in Plano. Been hooking me up lately with some good stuff.
Sweet.
And beer, too, from what I hear.
Yes.
Always good.
Hooking me up with some good stuff.
That's right.
Any other shout outs we got this week?
Malt Porter. I want to give a shout out quick to Malt Porter. He was. He hit us up on Facebook, commented on some beers that we untapped.
Sweet.
So. Yeah.
Oh, and Malt Porter, I found the hop juice, so I will be untapping it soon, or maybe even trying it on the show. Don't know.
Cool.
So I got it on your recommendation. Just want to let you know.
Sweet. Also want to give a shout out to Gino Kenny, also on Facebook as well.
I want to give a shout out to the Beer Coasters, Toby, cool. Mike, and Dave for hanging in there while I've been in and out lately.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we just like I said, we're happy hanging, to dude. Have you on the show. We'd like to sit down and drink a beer. If it can be more often, then great. But, you know, we understand, man. Life gets in the way of this stuff.
Yeah. Believe me, I would much rather be drinking with you guys than dealing with the shit I've got to deal with now. So,
I understand.
And it's a lot better than drinking alone.
Yeah. Well, like Toby says, you know, you get a smartphone and a beer. You're not drinking alone.
Right.
So, I think that's it. I think that wraps up this week's episode. A reminder to all our listeners. This is your show.
We're just drinking
in
it.
We're just drinking in it.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
This is a sifting. That's a 750 glug right there.
Dave, even when you're sober, you're drunk.
I find that I have no saliva left. I need a drink.
Very nice.